You know, I'm teaching the story of Narada Muni every day. So I'm just going to discuss the verse that I'm at. I think that'll be nice. In Vrindavan, actually, this is my fourth class. It's just a beautiful community. I mean, it's a spiritual world. It's just such incredible people. I have a small group of people in the morning. I don't invite everyone. But just a few select people, and we studied this book, Bhakti Loka, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Incredible book. And I give people a chance to ask questions and share their realizations of what they appreciated. And in the afternoon, at 4, I'm doing the story of Narada Muni. And I don't advertise. I mean, I limited people, but people find out. It develops a community based on something they share in common, which is, appreciation of the philosophy, appreciation of the person presenting it, appreciation of the people that are there. And it's just like, it's going to be so hard to leave this place. It's going to be so hard to leave this place because it's, it's just what life should be. So much kirtan, so much harikatha, so much sadhu sangha. And even yesterday, this young man Alex is going to be, and he's going to be my assistant now and travel with me, which would be a great help to me. Because my service is decreasing, I need help. And he's a very fine young man. And he's been here for 3 months with me, and he's, the attachment that he's gotten to Vrindavan is quite deep. So it was his last day, and I just wanted to help him relish the deepest Vrindavan experience possible. And I know this, and in fact, I'm the only one that knows it. It's amazing. You just can't get there because it's just gates and things. But I know this way to get into the gardens of Vrindavan. Thank God they're not accessible. And, somehow the weather is even rain, and it's just, like, so green and so lush, the thousands of acres of the riches and the flowers and the fragrance and the birds. And I have a friend. It's my good friend. It's just a sadhu and his family living out in the forest that grow flowers. And I come here any time. They just make these brijvasi rotis, these flatbreads, sabji, sometimes dal usually. And it's just real opulence is the expression of love. And therefore, real opulence is more natural because, I mean, real love is expressed through, beauty like flowers and food more than it is by, a new car and, some iPhone, really. And look at the natural beauty, the natural love, and to be with these people who have it. And it's just an incredible experience. I just have to say, you know, sometimes, you know, Vrindavan becomes a little bit more urbanized, but the doors to the real Vrindavan just seem to open up just as quickly. And it always happens like this. You know, I'm in Vrindavan, and I mean, relatively busy, I get filled, you know, but I just gave a class to these Russian people that came. It's just an amazing experience, is all I can say. And it's always towards the end of my trip. Now I have just 3 more days, and then I leave for Colombia, and then Belgium, and then New York. And you really feel that separation, you know, just before you're going. And you don't even really know how you'll be able to tolerate leaving, you know, such a place. So let's read, I'll read a verse, and then I'll discuss where I'm at with the group, because I'm doing it every day. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:5:25. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vichishtale Pan Anumodita Vijay Sakrit Svabhunjay Tarapasta Kilbhasha Evam Pravittasya Vishuddha Chaitasya Adharma Evatma Vachi Vachayate. Once only by their permission, I took the remnants of their food, and by so doing, all my sins were at once eradicated. Thus being engaged, I became purified in heart, and at that time the very nature of the transcendentalist became attractive to me. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Saksu Nukandena Tasmai Shri Yudhaya Sukhetanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarujascha Pratashindu Bayevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vidadhar Srivasa Devor Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from Vrindavan. We're in this story of Narada instructing Vyas. It's really been wonderful. We've been going over the instructions one by one and really delve into that deeply. But the gist of it is Vyas a Dev. Vyas is Dev, is God, or Godly. It's a post, and it's the post of editor. And the purpose of an editor is to take a text and communicate a message. And there's different types of editing. You know, someone can just do a light thing with the punctuation, and someone can edit and, you know, write the sentences with more clarity and force. And someone can substantially edit on this rewriting. The Ash is doing that type of editing with the Vedas because the Vedas deals with every aspect of human life. And you can get lost in it and lose its real intention or purpose. It deals with every aspect of human life and deals with the Bhattacharya various qualifications of people at different levels, promoting faith so that they can adhere to the practices of their level and go to the next level. But ultimately, the import of the Vedas is to give up false ego and ultimately to be situated in your Swarup, your real form. So his task is quite daunting, to say the least. Such a vast work and communicated to such people with such a lack of qualification to assimilate the knowledge. Anyway, that's Vyasa's task. And we know that his initial attempts failed, even by the Mahabharata Vedanta Sutra, because they somehow were, I guess there was some, you know, there's some purification and knowledge in those texts. But ultimately, the people of today, they won't carry them to the perfection or even the path of perfection. So Narada is feeling dissatisfied because somehow, despite everything he's done, he kind of understands that he hasn't been successful in that communication. But he's really at a loss of what the problem is and why. But because he's sincere, once sincere, sincerity gives one the ability to search in one's heart for things that are superficial, things that are not pure, things that are selfish. So, and because personal interest is against the nature of the soul, selfishness is against the nature of the soul. The against nature, the natural suffering. You know, reading Bhakti Lok and Bhakti Natha Kaur, he describes so nicely that we have the qualities of God to a minute degree, including the quality of independence. And that independence just basically has two choices: to seek the happiness of God, to seek your own happiness. Serve the center, try to be the center. When you try to serve the center, you become happy. When you try to be the center, you go against your nature. So even in the intense practices of Krishna consciousness with all sincerity, there's always a strive for perfection. And the symptom of not having achieved that is a internal sense of dissatisfaction. and a sincere person searches it out. And he gets direction from the super soul. But because the voice of the super soul is obscured by the mind, and it's very it's very difficult to distinguish that voice from the mind, that we have to check our intuition with spiritual authority. And in fact, the sincerity to become pure and enlightened is reciprocated by God through the inspiration he puts in the heart of a Vaishnava to give you mercy. So as Guru Narada comes, and Narada, and he makes a very interesting analysis that people in this age have very few material qualities, especially the kind of austerity, purity, and intelligence required to get benefit from, you know, Vedic knowledge, really. But there's something in this age that's favorable. And what's favorable in this age is that with a little spiritual acumen and a little association with the proper people, one can understand his dependence on God. And that's the key to spiritual life. You can understand. In other words, the reason why it's a sort of understand it is because this age, more than any others, it's so much more obvious that our material protective agents fail us. You know, that our intelligence doesn't get us that far, and our, you know, whatever qualities we have are not there. So it's kind of like a cosmic environment for the 12-step program, beginning with the first one, I'm completely helpless. And Narada tells Vyasa that you hone in, you know, the people are unqualified, but hone in, that they can be inspired in humility, and therefore your main focus in presenting the Vedas in this age is to present the glories of Krishna. You haven't done enough of that. To present the glories of Krishna. And what that will do to people who have reached the end of the line, which is so easy in Kali Yuga, or have the acumen to see that it's coming, what it'll do to those people when they hear the glories of the Lord, okay, because it's just you, to hear the glories of the Lord is not a material qualification, it's a spiritual qualification. Because anyone can do it. Spiritual qualification means you just have to do it. It just has to do with the quality of your consciousness. Material qualification means you may have it or not. But everyone has the qualification to surrender, to bow their head. What happens is if you hear the glories of the Lord, you hear the pastimes of Krishna, then and you're humble, you may become attracted to Krishna and therefore be attracted to serve. And that force will bring one out of the center and serve the
import of the Vedas? Was it any tapasya, any intellectual thing, any accumulation of charity, etc.? It will so he recommends and he says, therefore do this, become a devotee, even if you have to, whatever you have to give up, because this inspiration to serve that comes from hearing is a quality of the heart. And therefore, by doing it, it will make an indelible mark in the heart that will stay there. So even if you fail, you know, what's the loss? But if you use your intelligence or your just Vedic meaning if it's ritualistically based, then things have to be completed to perfection. Otherwise, you get no credit. But so he's just saying, and even if someone takes to this path of bhakti and then he goes, he's just not the same as a materialist because he has this impression in his heart. Even if he's doing the same things as a materialist, there's something glorious in that consciousness. So he's really, and it's a message for us. Really, it's a message for us, this humility. Humility to, and what is humility? Humility means that you're willing to accept an authority, which means a dictation of what you should do that's beyond your own desires and objectives. Of course, it may confirm your desires and objectives because you have to be peaceful to pursue spiritual life, but that willingness to submit to a will that has more authority than your own, like the hand and the body. The body has more authority if the hand is individual and can do what it wants, because it's part of something greater than itself. And to embrace that, and to be happy with that, and therefore be willing to hear of that, that's humility. And therefore, in the path of bhakti, humility is everything. That willingness somehow in the heart, and it can be inspired by love. True love will make one humble, because you'll want to follow and serve a desire greater than your own. And this the way Bhakti Vinod Thakur presents it, you know, if you have that independence and you want to be the enjoyer rather than the servant, your objective is to seek happiness for yourself rather than give it to God, which is inclusive of others, then that unnatural condition captures, you know, the Maya illusion, and it's fulfilled in illusion. So, this is Narada's instruction, that really the purpose of everything, the real purpose of everything, is to promote the glories of God. He is the Angi. He is the possessor of the parts. We're the Angi. We're the parts. And the possessor of the parts, the whole. The whole is beautiful. The whole is, has all qualities. And it's the objective of everything else is to serve the whole. It's always glorious to serve the whole. That's why community is so important in bhakti. I sometimes describe it retreats. There's a lot of people together. It can be a crowd or it can be a community. And what is a community? A community is a unit whose objective serves the objective and benefit of everyone, including oneself, better than one's personal whims, better than one's personal desires. And it's so healthy. I mean, when I see these retreats come to India, groups of people, and see them become communities, and because you can open your heart. Because if people are like that, you don't have to be vulnerable. When you open your heart, you can express and exchange love. It's a healthy state of mind, the open heart. And that's why the nature of family is spiritual. It doesn't have to be material. I know this one sannyasi that preaches to the brahmacharis, if you want to be a brahmachari, you have to be the humble servant of everyone. The spiritual life is stepping out of the center. And if you can't do that, then get married and be the servant to your family. And if it's a proper family unit, then the members are focused on the objectives of the family, knowing that that serves their interests better than themselves. And it does. It does. Any community does. In every way, including putting you in a position to experience love. So that inspiration to serve and belong to the universal community, the totality community, the God community, knowing that serving God serves you better than you can serve yourself. And in that relationship, you can be open-hearted, especially to those who have that same objective. And that's a spiritual society. And when people get together in that way, it becomes super attractive to everyone, because that's what everyone is looking for. Everyone wants community. Mm-hmm. Anyway, in this story, Narada is telling Vyas, because this is what Vyas has to do, and he has to figure out how to do it effectively. So Narada, as a teacher, after explaining this philosophical point, what Narada does is he shows his own example. And his own example is a wonderful, his own life is a wonderful example of what he just taught. He didn't have any material situation. He was the son of a maidservant. He didn't have high parentage.
And when his mother dies, they don't even hear of his father. So,
I mean, even today, you can hardly meet one person who doesn't know who his father is.
All right, maybe his father died. Okay, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
But still, he just is such a son of a maidservant in India. But he's, so he has this humble position. But the benefit of the humble position is with the right guidance. You can embrace it as a facility for dependence and love. You can embrace it. So we can embrace Kali Yuga. And boy, is it getting worse. We can embrace it as an opportunity to develop the dependence and humility that allows us to take shelter of God and desire, therefore, to hear the glories of Krishna and become inspired there to be who we are, which is a servant of Krishna. So his example is so apropos. And therefore, he will show now how by just embracing the dependent position and taking shelter of a dictation for one's life higher than one's own centered desires, to take shelter of community desires, community effort, the unit, to work for the unit that you belong, ultimately you belong to the unit of the universe. And that will of the universe, of God, comes through his devotees. And that's the mercy of the devotees. The love for a superior for an inferior is called Vinugraha, mercy. And that one of the main manifestations of that mercy is teachings or education. So somehow the Narada is in the association of great souls, and they become attracted by his dependence. Mercy becomes attracted by the need for mercy. And the need for mercy is not just one's material situation. The need for mercy is an expression of our constitutional position of dependence. And the difficult material situation can either be an impetus to take shelter, or it can increase the desires to be independent and control. So Narada is telling the personal story of his life, and he got the mercy, he says. He somehow got their mercy. And why? They were Dina Vatsala. That's the nature of a saintly person. The nature of a saintly person, you can think of it. A saintly person is attracted to help those in need. And if one is not, he's not a saintly person. He's a selfish person. Naturally gravitates that way. So spiritual life is somehow or other understanding God, understanding our relationship with God, understanding our dependence of God, And expressing that, expressing the need for God and the need for the relationship with God. And in expressing that need, we're expressing the dependence we have on that connection. And the lack of that connection is the greatest poverty. It's the greatest need, because the lack of that connection is the lack of love that we have. So they blessed him with causeless mercy. Causeless because you can't earn it. You can attract it. It's still causeless. If you can't earn, you can attract something, but without being able to earn it. That's called begging. Begging can attract mercy. It's still causeless because you didn't pay for it. And in fact, that's bhakti. It's not that we just sit and do nothing because it's mercy and it's causeless. And because it's causeless, then it can be bestowed upon you, even though if you turn your back to God and do nothing, and the person who works so hard, he doesn't get it. No. Mercy, we can't earn God. But we can attract God by our humility. And they're all the same. Our humility, our dependence, our need. It's all the same concept. It's an acknowledgement. It's an acknowledgement and a endorsement of something higher than ourselves, whose connection is required in our lives to give us sustenance, meaning, and happiness more than anything else. So here, in terms of that purification, he talks about he got the remnants of their food and how powerful it was, and all his sins were eradicated at once. Which is a very interesting concept. The relationship between faith and the experience of spiritual devotional phenomena. It depends on our faith. And the faith is a condition of the mind that opens us up, that opens our heart up to some experience. And therefore, faith is caused by two things. It's caused by knowledge and by experience. We have faith in something because we've experienced its benefit. We have faith in something because we understand its benefit. So by the combination of developing knowledge, combination of developing knowledge and a combination of applying that knowledge and getting experience opens our consciousness up to the experience of spiritual phenomena and their benefit. Therefore, someone with full faith in the Vaishnavas and full faith in the remnants of their food, the full benefit of that spiritual substance very powerfully impacts the heart, whether it's the deities, whether it's the holy name, whether it's the association of devotees, or whether it is the prasadam of the Lord. And
doing that, there was a purification in the heart, and the result is Atma Ruchi Prajayate, the transcendental attraction, the nature, Dharmaeva Atma Ruchi Prajayate, the nature of the transcendentalist becomes attracted to it. And that's how you advance in devotional service. Sushu Shoshadanasya Vasudeva Gatavichi Satmahatsevanabhipa Punya. Association for the souls is very purified. Sushu Shoshadanasadeva. And by that association, you get attraction for the katha of Krishna, because when you're with the sadhus and you see their life, when you're with the sadhus and you see their life, then what happens? You want to be like them. Their nature becomes attractive. And to whatever nature attracts you, that's the nature that comes to you, and it's the nature that you develop. So, you became purified, and purified means the nature of the transcendentalist becomes attractive. Your faith changes. And what's your faith in? Your faith in is in the service of Krishna, the highest ability. And therefore, the people who are most pure in that service, they're the people that you most admire and emulate. And they're the people that therefore most affect your lives. So it's interesting here too, Narada is promoting the pastimes of Krishna, but when he describes his transformation, it begins with the devotees of Krishna. Indirect means direct. It's just like there's a wall and there's your eyes. But if your eyes are defective, then seeing the world indirectly through a prescription lens is seeing the wall more clearly. The same thing in relationship with God. Acharya Purushottama, there's all the pastimes, there's all the stories. But without the devotee who has realized the devotional nature, then the benefit, we don't get the full benefit. We don't have the lens by which to understand things, by those who have the realization to understand it deeper now. So, pure devotion is as much infectious in a good sense as an infectious disease. This is purport. Pure devotee is cleared from all kinds of sins. The personality of God is the purest entity, and unless one is equally pure from the affection of material qualities, one cannot become the pure devotee of the Lord. The Bhakti Vedantas, as above mentioned, were pure devotees, and the boy became affected with their qualities of purity by their association and by eating once the remnants of the foodstuffs taken by them. Some remnants may even be taken without permission, but there are pseudo-devotees, and one should be very cautious about them. There are many things which hinder one entering devotional service, but by the association of pure devotees, all these obstacles are removed. Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Hoy. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. All perfection comes. The most important thing is the association of pure devotees. Because the obstacles are removed, because what we're searching for is in their heart. We want love of Godhead. God does not have love of Godhead. Love of Godhead is in the heart of the devotee.
And when we have that attraction for that heart, which comes by their association, then we give up anartha, those things which have no value for our goals. The neophyte devotee becomes practically enriched with the transcendental qualities of the pure devotee, which means attraction for the personality of Godhead's name, form, qualities, pastimes. So this is what happens in the association of a pure devotee. Because if you want the association of pure devotee, there's some preliminary attraction to devotion. And when you see it in the life of someone, and therefore the conviction of someone, and therefore the explanations of someone, you have access to the most attractive thing. And you become attracted, and that's bhakti, and that comes. Infection of the qualities of the pure devotee means to imbibe the taste of pure devotion always in the transcendental activities of the Lord. The transcendental taste at once makes all material things distasteful. Therefore, a pure devotee is not at all attracted by material activities. After the elimination of all sins or obstacles on the path of devotional service, one can become attracted. One can have steadiness. One can have perfect taste. One can have transcendental emotions. At last, one can be situated in the plane of loving service of the Lord. All these develop by the association of pure devotees, and that is the purport of the standard. So there's, he just described, Dao Shakha Tata Sada Sanda Vajra Kriya Jat Vatana Jitti Nishta Ruchi, all these stages. It all happens by the association of a devotee. Their Shakti, from their convictions, from their expressions. It has the most influence. And every stage, we need that. And if there's one thing we should pray for, it's for the association of advanced Vaishnavas. Because it's a living presentation of the philosophy and expression of the philosophy that can search us out and touch our hearts. And because there is nothing more attractive than love, or pure love, the love for God, tvasmin parama prema rup. This is nothing more attractive than that. Anyone with some sincerity will be influenced. They'll be affected. Bhakti Siddhartha says that even if you don't know it's a pure devotee in Mahabhagavat, every person will still be influenced except the person who's proud of his little knowledge, which means he's closed his mind to experiences beyond his realm of qualification and time. Okay, we're going to stop now. Would anybody like to ask questions? Okay, anyone can say hello? Oh, we're on the presentation, looks like. Only organizers can be heard. So let me do that.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Let me do one more thing. Okay, anyone like to ask a question?
Hari Bol.
Thank you so much.
Hari Bol, Chaitanya Priya. Hari Bol.
Hari Krishna.
So Chaitanya Priya, you'd like to ask a question, or are you just saying hello?
I'm just saying, hello. The class was crystal clear. Just putting that into practice.
Okay, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is that Shanan? Is that Shadid?
Yeah, Hanan.
Yes, question.
I have a small question.
Yes.
You said in class that Sadhu Sangha is the most important item. I heard it before, but somewhere else I heard that chanting Hare Krishna was the most important out of the five.
Is that verse. Yeah, go ahead. There is that verse. Taramadye Savishreshe Namasankirtan Nir Aparade Poya Pai, of all the items of devotional service, chanting is the best. But none of those items really mention Sadhu Sangha. But they all come from Sadhu Sangha. I mean, there's no question of chanting the holy name without giving Sadhu Sangha. So, and the first principle of the 64 items of devotional service is through Padashaya, that the association of the advanced Vaishnavas. So that's where the attraction for the holy name comes. The most important practice is the holy name. That's for sure. But you really, its purity depends on receiving the name from a devotee and having the association of people who exemplify that. Is that okay?
Yes. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else
like to
say hello?
Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances.
I go Nanda Dulal. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, you know, you have 1 minute. 30 seconds. Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class, you know. I know that you are coming pretty soon, you know. My mother passed away last Sunday, and then last Saturday, I had her cremated.
Oh, I hear that.
Yeah, you met her.
Was she with you?
She was with my brother in New York. She was in New York. She was
okay.
She was with me, but she went to visit. But anyway, we are doing the sat ceremony on Thursday, 27th. You have met her. Please bless her soul.
What month?
No, first ceremony
month,
I will
right?
be doing. Yeah, on Thursday 27th.
Yeah, I'm not in America yet.
Yeah, I know.
Tomorrow's
wonderful.
March, Okay, sorry to hear about your mother. I remember her, but I remember she was very sick even 10 years ago. Right?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, very well. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hello, Gail.
Can I ask a question?
Hare Krishna.
One second, Gail. Who is that?
This is Ritadva Jaswami.
Maharaj, Dandavat,
Pranam. I'm with Hanan and Sarit, getting good association so I can advance.
Oh, you're with them?
Yes.
Oh.
The Cohen Hilton filled up with other Cohens, so I moved to the Hilton.
Say that again. What happened?
The the Cohen Hilton filled up with other Cohens. The whole family showed up. So I booked and moved to the Hilton, Hanan Hilton. Hanan and Hilton. Very nice program this morning, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. It's wonderful to hear your voice. Let's keep in touch.
Yeah, we'll be on regular routine.
Okay.
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 Hare Krishna.
So much. Wonderful. Thank you, Hare Krishna. What a treat to hear from the touch of the story. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Henry.
Henry, Hare Bo. Wow, we have like a real Sangha, huh? The Tattu Goswami yourself. Wonderful. We'll all have to meet at your house, Henry. Me and the Tattu Goswami. We're gonna make a rendezvous at your house. We'll make a plan. Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Wow, all the family is joining together. Hare Bo.
Yay.
Thank
it was
you.
A wonderful, wonderful class. There's a few things I'm really taking away with me. This one, lots of food to God.
Well, that gives me joy. We're really having a great time here in Vrindavan. So many nice people, as you know. Yeah. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Maharaj, can I still
Hare
ask
Krishna
a
Maharaj.
Question?
Go ahead, Gil.
Oh, yes, you were speaking of the glories of association. And so I'm wondering if sadhu sangha is also the cure for weakness of heart and the feeling of impotency that you can feel in making decisions of integrity in our daily, you know, activities.
Okay, so is that a good statement or a question?
That's the question. If sadhu sangha is the cure for that weakness of heart.
Well, sadhu sangha gives bhakti, and it gives knowledge of bhakti, and it gives conviction of bhakti, and it gives us spiritual strength. So yes, it's a cure for making good decisions. Yeah, including hearing, you know, we need. The decisions require jnana and vairagya. Without knowledge, you don't know what to do. Without vairagya, you can't do it. So that's also well equipped with that. Bhakti, when you hear about bhakti, you also get automatically those things come. And that gives you the strength. So we've been in the world since time immemorial. So our conditioning is very strong, so it takes time. But it gives us strength. But strength is something that gradually builds. Yes. Okay.
Well, I pray for your prayers for me.
I will pray for you, Gail. Thank you for
thank you.
Hearing me. Anyone else like to say hello? Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Alika.
Oh, that girl, I know. You're back in Princeton
Maharaj.
Or you're in Europe?
I'm in Princeton, Maharaj.
Okay, we'll see you soon. Looking forward to talking to you. Catch you up.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Maharaj, this is Ritabha Goswami again.
Please. How can we serve you?
You're irresistible. I have a that causes mercy. If it, how does it not be random?
Yeah. The reason is, that's a good question. I have some insight on that, and I spoke about it today.
is because mercy, it can't be earned, but it can be attracted.
Yeah.
An example would be is if someone comes to beg feet from you and they're really destitute, you may feel like giving them. Now, you may give them money, but they didn't earn it. You know,
right.
You may give them food. They didn't earn it. They didn't pay for it. But they attracted it by their condition. So it's not that we just don't do, you know, that mercy comes and someone doesn't do anything and he gets it and you work so hard, you don't get it. But the work is not in the mood that I'm earning it. The work is in the mood that I'm praying for it. And as you know, and I mean, I take your guidance for chanting the holy name, which is true, that, as you know, that the chanting is not just a mechanical effort. It's an expression of the heart. And that expression of the heart repeated again and again and again and again and again, oh, Krishna, any energy of the Lord, please be, it attracts the mercy, but it's still causeless, because how can you earn God? How can you earn the holy name? And if we can earn it, then how much could it, what value is it? It's not God. We can't pay for God. So I think that's how I would resolve it. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, yes, but it still has a little thing that somehow or another, desire, we kind of earn it, but it's through prayer, as you said, and yes, it's through the quality of that the causeless mercy reacts.
Say it again. The causeless mercy is what?
How does the causeless mercy ignite?
How does it come?
Yeah, how does it ignite?
My God. It becomes ignited because God is a person and he likes to help people in need.
No.
So it's ignited by our need. If someone comes to you and they really, 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 really need your help, then you'll give them your help.
Yes.
And if they don't, you know, or they don't ask for it, then you're not inclined to do it. So I think it becomes it's what ignites the causeless mercy is the object of mercy. And the object of mercy is someone who's in need.
Yeah.
So I think does that make help or something?
Yeah. More. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we'll end now. Panchakopa through Bishop.